then the fourth one is that the documentation and review of the technical indicator descriptions, the TIDs, to ensure that they include adequate descriptions of systems and processes for data collection and verification for reporting purposes. So that's going to be quite important for us as a committee as well. So that's why we need the TIDs, because if we don't have the TIDs, we can't verify and look at it. So I just want to bring that under the attention of the members. Then a few questions from my side, or a few comments. I think from the committee side, we welcome the new indicators on contact crime, also to reduce contact-related crime, reduce property-related crime, and other serious crime. I think that's a positive development, and the police management must be commended for that. But it brings me now again to the whole issue of the definitions of technical indicators. And the one issue is, again, that was raised is the 99% of police stations have a functional CPF as per the set guidelines. And I think that's where the problem comes in. Because what does the set guidelines measure? Are we measuring the right criteria? Because, again, if you go to a police station and you ask, oh, is the CPF functioning? Yes, very well, but you know the CPF chairperson passed away 6 months ago, but we will again get things together. So the practical picture out there is not necessarily 99%, and that's why I think, again, the descriptions, the definition descriptions, need closer scrutiny as we go forward. Then a very important thing that's also raised here in terms of the action plan regarding fuel crime and the question of vetting again. Now, I think that is the critical thing that is really facing South Africa Police Services. Yesterday we had SARP complaining about the placement of people at Oliver Tambo to other stations in rotation. From the portfolio committee side, we're in favour of rotations. If rotations can contribute to dealing with corruption and dealing with illegal behaviour, we will really support that if it's also in terms of the Labour Act. Applicable. But I think that is the one issue that we really need, again, from the Acting National Commissioner of Police Management, a real commitment. Because in your own document, in your own analysis, you say the risk is the question of collusion, especially with police, firearms, and so on. What steps in this year will be additionally placed on the table, apart from the recruitment, but all those trouble spot stations where there's station commanders for a very long time, cluster commanders for a very long time, unit commanders for a very, very long time. And again, the issue of proper vetting, we know all the issues of the time it takes and all that, but if we don't address that vetting issue, where the community thinks that commanders and policemen are in cahoots, the Rosetten rule was again in the news recently where I think journalists went back and it's the same business again. The drug laws are again there. So the question is, what are we doing proactively to ensure that we deal with the issue of vetting, that we really root out these elements in the South African police service at all levels? Because I think if we don't get a proper action plan, these questions will be raised as we go forward. Then in terms of public order policing, I just want to get a breakdown of also, let's say, the new appointments, the number of new units that will be additionally given the necessary resources, but then the question also of the new vehicles, the development of the new vehicle, what is the plan, the outreach. We saw in the Kulini incident that Niyala was destroyed. So, of course, it's an intelligence issue, but also about force deployment. But it just shows you, it's maybe a symbolic thing, we need better protection for our members. We need really going forward if these situations unfold, what do we have in place? So if we can get clear commitments today from the police management, when are we going to get these new vehicles? We heard yesterday about the additional procurement of Niyalas, but the environment is changing and we don't see changes there. So we really need practical indications from police management. What are we going to see in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months and 8 months Also, in terms of, again, we raised the issue of the additional funds for public order policing in terms of the budget and the list of technical equipment, but can we get an indication what is going to be done in terms of deployment of these new measures? Let's go to the other members. Honourable Malabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first one is, are we going to have a firearm amnesty sometime soon, this month or next month? My next one is, tell us about the renewals of firearms, especially the ones that have already passed their renewal date. I also have a question on rural safety. Is it yielding any safe results because of the continuing attacks that we see going on of farmers and farm workers? My other one is also on the OR Tambo robbery. Was it right to put 800 officers on transfer? My last one is on why is Nyaube never mentioned in the drugs confiscation? Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Mulabati. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I got no questions because I don't know what questions you ask.
Honourable Hribal.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to start to say that I think we need to get the Minister back to the Portfolio Committee to start with. I welcome it is good that the Deputy Minister is here. But you know, yesterday the Minister came in, made a couple of statements and just left. We didn't have an opportunity to ask questions to the Minister. And there are very important matters to be discussed with the Minister and what the Minister is saying or saying in public. For instance, let's take the remark of shoot to kill. Now, it sounds maybe good, but you know, now the public asks, but why then, for instance, if I live on a farm, or if I'm in my house and I have a robber in my house, but if I shoot, then the police come and arrest me? That's a valid question that has been asked by the public, because it seems, as far as the Minister is concerned, that when it comes to the police, there are certain standards, but when it comes to individuals, then it's double standards. Because do you still have to wait until the robber first shoots at you before you can shoot? It's critical questions asked by the public. And I would request that the committee request the Minister to come and to answer certain questions as far as the police is concerned. Chairperson, secondly, I also want to say that I welcome the Trio Crimes Task Team and the organized crime approach. It is true, we know that it is those three crimes are the most feared crimes in South Africa. And I want to say that I wish them well, that we can reduce the trio crimes. But Chairperson, that brings me to the whole argument about the targets we set and the reducing of targets, for instance, the reporting of crime. And maybe we will have to have a discussion on that. And specifically, if for instance, if you look, it's my slide 4 and 5. I don't know if according to Major General Sabhavi's slides. But I understand that you want to reduce the number of cases to be reported because it makes them, or it gives them the indication that we have less crime. I understand that. That's why you want to reduce those targets. For instance, we had 1.7 million cases. But Chairperson, I have a problem with that in this sense, that when we go to the station level, I'm worried that we will get a situation where the station commanders, to ensure that they comply to the targets and to ensure that they have a good picture to report higher up, that they will not report all the crimes that's been reported to the police station. We experience it at present, in practice. You get many complaints from people saying, but I've laid a charge at the police station, but nothing happened. So I'm a bit worried, and I'd like to have a more thorough explanation. Why do we lower those cases reported to the police station? And seeing it as a target, and lower the target, and think by that we're going to increase our performance. So that is the first one. Chairperson, the second one is also, and the honourable colleague has also asked on the firearms. Can I just add to that? Can we get an update as far as the firearms whose licenses had expired in the light of the court case last week, or court cases, in fact, with SA Hunters, which we had certain findings already from the court, because I was also informed, Chairperson, that, for instance, in the Western Cape, the provincial commissioner gave an order where the police went to people on a sort of operation and confiscated firearms whose licenses had not been renewed, and actually we don't know what happens with those firearms. I did speak to the honourable, or to the commissioner, it's honourable commissioner, and he did react, so I welcome that. But we must have certainty. The public must have the trust in the police, and they will get the trust if they know the police are constant on what they say and what they do. I mean, there is a court case. Can we get an update? Because as far as I'm concerned, the correct way is to say, let's put a moratorium on the matter, let's see what the court case outcome is, and then we can act according to that. So that's the second one. Chairperson, the third issue at this moment, as for the first round, is I'm coming back to rural safety and sector policing. Now, Chairperson, if I look at the presentation, we talk about 759 police stations to comply, it's a target, to the four pillars of rural safety. Now, Chairperson, now again, there are different figures. On the one target, we're talking about 779, and then we talk about 879, and then we talk about 888. So my first question is, how many police stations do we have that is actually obliged to have a rural safety plan? The second one is, Chairperson, and I've mentioned it when we had the debate on farm murders. In Upington, when it comes to sector policing, there's one vehicle, four members of the police services, 484 farms. Now, Chairperson, that makes a mockery of it. So it is completely inadequate. And then you can also understand that, for instance, on Monday, we had the situation between Fochville and Parys, where 14 cattle of a stud of a farmer has been hacked. It means it's getting out of control when it comes to stock theft, when it comes to the farmers as far as the implements, the machinery is concerned. If you go and talk to the farmers, it's a real crisis when it comes to the theft of farms, and that happens on farms. So, and I can understand, because if we look at sector policing, then it seems there's a big problem there. And that brings me to the fact that the organized crime approach, which the police services now have when it comes to trio crimes, which is good, which I already said I welcome. Now my question is, what approach do we have when it comes to farm murders? And that links up with my honorable colleague's question as far as that is a concern. My last question, Chairperson, is about crowd control as presented to us and the target set. And Chairperson, unfortunately, I must mention Kulini. I did speak to the Commissioner, but Chairperson, there's one thing I don't understand, and I think most of the people don't understand. If we say that we have crowd control, how can the police allow a crowd to get into the street, looting, breaking, stealing the shops? I mean, if we say that we have crowd control and that we have to protect the people and protect the property and to ensure that it is safe, then what is the doctrine of crowd control to allow that first to happen before there's really action? Can I please have an explanation on that specific issue, Chairperson, because it's quite clear. At this moment, if you talk to the public, it appears that if the police talk about crowd control, first steal, first look, and then we will just direct you back to where you're coming from. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Muslimu. Honorable Ramasakani.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and to DM, I recognize that, and the police management. And Chair, I got in the middle, but I have a question, though, that of what I've heard and what I've read. The number one question I just want to ask, we now have a white paper on policing. And white paper on policing gives particular direction in terms of some certain drivers for crime. One of it is the whole thing that deals with drugs, possessions of drugs, and dealing with drugs. Now, I just want to find that in relation to what was presented, the general speaking about the focus, different focus on it, whether that different focus into it, including of the targets, is in keeping with this white paper, or we haven't really comprehended this particular aspect of the white paper, because white paper is actually what's supposed to give the police a direction in terms of policing model, which informs what you do, including the target of what you want to achieve. So that's really the first question that I would just want to ask around that particular aspect. The second one is, I think it's just by way of addition, that question has been asked, that's got to do with the crime at a national key point, particularly the O.R. Tambo situation. The visible policing, that's a national key point, but the question I have, Honourable Chair, is I don't suggest that we would get the rundown here and now in terms of that. But the question in terms of that, in terms of visible policing and effective policing, whether there was actually a full police compliance with the standing order in the OR Tambo, particularly the standing order 15, whether there anything like, or what was your findings as a police in terms of management and lapses that has taken place as a result of that program. But in relation to that is the whole thing about cohesion and vetting, and vetting and continuous vetting, including the issues of the lifestyle audit of police that are dealing with the situation there. And if I remember correctly, and acting national commissioner, you would remember that just before that incident, about 2 or 3 weeks before that incident, we had a meeting. There was allegations about police collusion in the airport, particularly over Tambo, the Hawks versus SATs, and the shootings. We have raised that concern about issues that happening there. Little did we know that 2 weeks down the line, something major is going to happen. So that's the one question I just want to understand. And what has management done? Linked to that is the whole thing about vetting. I guess the OR Tambo as a national key point probably has got 40 or 30,000 employees, or 40,000 maybe to be close to the to correctness, of all kinds of people at the airport. But the responsibility remains of the police in terms of ensuring that the situation there is neutralized. Now, the vetting aspect in terms of crime, simply a crime, and of people that are working at the airport, isn't it there, what has happened there recently, an opportunity to clean up the airport insofar as criminal activities is concerned, and what would that be in terms of the role that SEPs will play in that aspect? Then, Chair, the whole question of that I want to ask: 20 top police stations, and Khayelitsha is one of them. Khayelitsha is one of them. In terms of visible policing and infrastructure that makes it possible for functionality, on that police functionality in Khayelitsha. I mean, we had recently this whole debate, unhealthy people in Khayelitsha, for an example, about the whole promise that has been coming on for years, about infrastructure, building of a police station, for an example, as a basic infrastructure for crime, visual policing. And that has not been happening. Now, currently, as we speak today, I just want to know, because you remember there was a commission that was appointed by the provincial commissioner, provincial government of the Western Cape. In it, there was this whole debate about resources, deployment of resources. So Khayelitsha has been one police station where resources have not been employed. What is the commitment of the self-management in terms of deployment of resources in the particular area? Because you can't have a police patrolling only without having a proper infrastructure to function. So isn't it about time that one of the things that you talk about, if you talk about 20 police stations and you have them there and all red, that one of the things that you ask the question is what are the basic necessity, training, operational tool that you require for a police station like that. And I do want to say, Chair, even though you have before the comment, that I think we should be supporting the call that has been made by Kalicha community, which I think, and we must say that there was an intervention from the DA, that we support that call, that there should be resources put into that to build the station. It is long overdue. And I didn't hear, I'm thinking maybe we will have to hear what the provincial commissioner's view is on that particular thing. But I think from where I'm sitting, it's a basic thing that we need in terms of that infrastructure. That goes, if you talk about Nyanga as another station, as a part of the cluster. And I'm linking this question to the intelligence revenue that has been reported about. That General, are you happy with the footprint that you have that deals with the crime intelligence?
Yeah, Honourable Ramachandran, we're going to come to that program later today.
Yes.
On crime. And we're currently just dealing with visible.
Yes, no, I was just asking because I saw on the trio crime, the intelligence. So let me just end there, Chair. I'm not sure whether it's going to injure the next... Okay, so the point I was just asking is that station there in terms of Nyanga, in terms of the footprint of it. Chair, the last one, second last, is that whole... There has been the board of entry issues in terms of visible policing. And the issue about the has been concern, obviously, about the whole integration of the border management in terms of that policing. Is that the issues around that been resolved? Have you now an access with Nani in terms of Home Affairs, the kind of identification system? Are you now having access to that? Thank you, Chair.
Very much. Honourable Ramachandran, maybe just to indicate, yesterday we discussed, but you again welcome the issue of the police stations. We asked for each province to provide us with the top 10 on the list that must be erected over the next few years. But we also raised yesterday the issue, if you stop a project, for instance, the issue of fruitless and wasteful can run into billions or millions of rand. So we also need the proper analysis of that advice, but to support your call for those stations.
Honourable Ramachandran, touched on my question, but then I wanted to ask because during the effective statement here is the objective statement here on page 14 is effective border security management, and the targets are 100%. Now, what I wanted to ask is that in order to reach the 100% target, could the department briefly elaborate on the most recent consultation to the DMA, as their last opinion was that they were not part of the DMA, but will perform concurrent functions alongside it. So in order for them to reach the 100%, it means there has to be a healthy performance together with the DMA. Now I'd like to know the recent, a short brief on the recent consultation to
thank you very much, Honourable Mula. Yeah, maybe just one again from my side for the first round.
very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to be answering most of the administrative questions that have been asked, but I just want to respond on policy and questions, no, policy and comments. Firstly, the Chairperson knew that we had an appointment yesterday. My name is Bev and Nyanga was the war zone on the meeting. Some criminals have held people hostage at ShopRite from 7 o'clock in the morning up until 7 o'clock at night. I had to fly from Pretoria to give moral support to the police on the ground, who didn't eat the whole day, but busy in battle with the criminals who wanted to rob the Sasa man. So a security guard died, and some police were injured, and a criminal also was injured and died. Most of the people who were at hostage there, they were workers of ShopRite. We had to go to that community and the Ministry of Police to assure them of the safety and also to convey our message to the workers who have held hostage for the whole day. So we didn't just leave this place. We came here to present a political overview, and we left the police to continue with the work because we have other work to do to deal with our people. So it won't be right that the minister spoke here and then just left. I've spoken to the chairperson, and then I told him our apology. So we must retract that statement. It's a misleading statement to the nation that we just spoke and left. I just wanted to correct that first because we have tendered our apology that we had to go there and deal with the matter decisively. Secondly, I want to make the very same example. The security guard at ShopRite was not carrying any firearm except a baton. That security guard was fatally injured and he died. Now police there in battle were dealing with reckless, heavily armed robbers. And the police had to shoot to kill because the criminals were prepared to shoot to kill at security guards and also at police. So our approach in the notion of shoot to kill is not a notion of shooting innocent, protesting our citizens of the Republic. We're talking about hardened, you know, heavily armed criminals who are carrying very sophisticated and powerful weaponry to terrorize our communities and undermine the authority of the state. That is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about citizens who march for service delivery and so forth. So our approach is based on the prescripts of the Constitution and also under the principles of human rights. But if criminals, they fire on police, I don't think police must play music at that point in time. So that is an attitude, because I'm raising this thing that I want one human rights activist to say that the police must sing a national anthem while heavily armed criminals are shooting at them. What must they do? So that is our approach on the matter. But we are not saying that the minister must not come here and we explain this further. We can explain it and entertain your issue on the matter of farms. Because today there's a court in Northwest of a 16-year-old boy that was brutally killed by farm workers. who are happened to white for stealing, what you call it, a sunflower. 1-2 months ago was shot because he was mistaken to a baboon or a particular animal. And this is what we are saying about shoot to kill in terms of the citizens. Which responsibility are they carrying? Because these are the issues that South Africa must talk about, because it is our people that are affected on the ground that are being shot and mistaken to criminals, whereas they are not criminals. Some of them are farm workers. So if we want that debate in Parliament, we are prepared to come back, and then we can enter that debate. Unfortunately, for now, again, we are supposed now to be meeting a joint committee of intelligence to present our work to them also. So we are not just leading the portfolio committee. We are members of Parliament before we are ministers. And we understand that the responsibility of Parliament as important as the legislature. So we submit apologies if we attend a particular task. I said I must clear the air because we are communicating with the nation here. And if we don't clarify such issues, they are going to go to the nation as a reality. So I said to clarify that, Chairperson, before I can attend the next meeting that is starting in 10:30. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Grunewald. Let us say to the Honourable Deputy Minister, you didn't clear the air, you clouded the air. Firstly, I want to say clearly to you, I'm more worried of what you have just said. Because if you have a hostage situation, it's a crime scene, and then you don't need politicians there. Because that can affect the operation of the police. You must get a very clear distinction between your task as a politician and the operational task of the police services. There's nothing wrong if you go after the time to assist. But I personally think it's a mistake to go there as a politician and as the minister while there is a hostage situation. That is totally unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. Secondly, everybody knows that you have to treat criminals in a certain way. The police has been trained for that. And I can't understand that if I differ with what the minister says in public, that you think that I think. Now you must play the national anthem when you deal with criminals. Is there something wrong with you, Honourable Deputy Minister? Do you really think that I will think in that sense? In fact, that is proof that you don't know what's going on. And I will tell you, stop with that public statement. Thank you, Chair. But can I lastly say, referring to farm murders, I don't know where the Deputy Minister was when we had the debate on the farm murders. And the incident he referred to, let me inform you, it was a black farmer who mistaken a black child for a baboon. Are you aware of that? Right. But that's not my point.
I think let's, otherwise we're going to have interpolation. I think we accept the opinions that was put on the table. I think we accept the apology of not being present, but I think it's important that I'll give the Honourable Abbas opportunity, but we will of course invite the Minister when he's available to deal especially with that issue. Honourable Abbas.
Thank you, Chairperson. As far as I remember, the Deputy Minister never said they went there to go and arrest criminals or something. All they went there to do was to give people support, the people who were taken hostage, and that is very important. Thanks, Chair.
No, I'm not going to ask you other answers. Well, let's leave it there. We're not going to do interpolation. We need the responses, and we'll deal with the issue of the merits of the pronouncements of the jail authority when the minister comes. Let's go to the National Commissioner, Acting National Commissioner. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, maybe the one which is a little bit, which requires a little bit of detail, Chair, which we have raised, and I think it was raised also yesterday on the new generation, Yalas, the POP situation. I can talk maybe to it before I get to the others. Just to mention that for this financial year, 17-18, there is 241,941,960 that is set aside for the POP environment. This is earmarked funding.
That's additional.
I'm not going to go through the total breakdown, Chair, but safe to say that the approval is granted for the procurement of new vehicles, 119, that is for the public order policing environment. We also are procuring 60 body protection kits. That is, you know, the equipment that they require for protection purposes in the way that they do. The final details like glass and so on, I'm not going to be talking to you. But the Yalas, which was also raised yesterday, the new generation Yalas, for this year, 25 of them will be procured. And I was advised yesterday by General Mukwena that we have approached three suppliers that we are engaging with to make sure that there is procurement of these vehicles in this current financial year. For the coming financial year, it will be another 50. So at the end of the 18-19 financial year, we would have procured a total of 75. Chair, they made a challenge around the Yalas. We agree that the current Yalas have aged and they are very expensive to maintain. We are reviewing the situation while at the same time there is procurement of those additional Yalas. In terms of appointments, I've just...
So, General, just maybe technically, just to get a clarification, this new generation of Yalas, I mean, that is now the prototype that was subjected to CSIR evaluation and all your operational requirements, or is this just an upgrade? I just want to get an indication. Is this a new generation vehicle in terms of the new environment, or is it just the Yala Plus?
Let me ask General Shenzi and General Mukwanazi just to talk to them. But these are the new ones. I think we already have one or two of them deployed in the environment, which is found to be conducive. That's why we refer to it as the new generation. General Shenzi, is there anything additional?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, General. Yes, I think General Shami has covered it, Chairperson. But it's also including the additional IT equipment on specifically going to be able to monitor, to do the sensors around where the Yalas will be deployed for police officers, you know, to be able to, you know, proactively detect what is happening around without necessarily going closer into the environment that are crime-driven in specific instances. Currently, the CSIR is also finalizing their process on the latest of what needs to be deployed as a new generation, but that will also be confirmed while those outcomes are coming on.
No, does that include that integrated helmets for communication purposes that was also indicated by Parliament?
Yes, Chairperson, it's includes integrated helmets, it includes the surveillance capabilities for the surrounding areas, also the body-worn cameras in those instances where people have to go out. It has all those measures included and incorporated.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. So that's in a way, while I'm not unpacking the 3, 6 months and 8 months, it's just to give honorable members a sense that there is a plan, which I thought at some point it would have been presented before the committee. But if we need to submit final details of that plan, Chair, we are ready to do so. We are in the implementation mode in terms of what is it that was planned for this current financial year and will be procured accordingly, including the additional capacity as in people that we are looking for in that particular area. We have done an assessment, Chair. One reality is that the people in that environment, some have been there for far too long, as in they have aged. And also because of the nature of work they do, which is too demanding, our observation is that we need an injection of young people to develop them to be able to do that work. That is why in the basic training learning program, we have now introduced the 3 weeks crowd management program compared to what the position was before we introduced the program. So the trainees that we are producing out of the colleges now are equipped with that basic crowd management capability. The first was the group that completed their training in December, who are now operational. And part of what we are doing, even those that are not in the public order policing environment, like those that we have deployed in stations, General Mkhwanazi, as well as supply chain management, are in the process of sourcing that crowd management equipment so that they are ready equipped to deal with the situation on the ground, because sometimes the situation erupts with the POP far away from there. So we should be able to mobilize those that are trained to be able to deal with that kind of a situation. And as I indicated, he is the head of public order policing, a specific component that we have established to deal with the issue. We are in the process of reviewing the structure of the division, because at this stage there is a matrix approach. You have got some of those units that report nationally to the divisional commissioner, but some of them are provincial units. So while we are going to keep them in the provinces, we believe there is a case to have them as centralized, so that if there is no violence, for example, in the Northern Cape, you should be able to call up that capacity to an area, whether it is in the Western Cape or wherever the need arises. That is being taken care of, Honorable Chair. We were very much concerned with the banning of that Nyana in Kolingi. Unfortunately, it's one of those old ones, and it had broken down. So while the members were focusing on trying to manage the crowd, unfortunately, some went and they touched the Nyana. It's regrettable, and that is why we would want to expedite the process of making sure that we have got new capacity in that particular area. That takes care of the public order policing issue, Chair. The other issue that the Honourable Chair raised is around the CPFs. And I think it's a question of, we talk of as per the SAFE guidelines. We can't be entirely satisfied with that process, Chair. We will, during the course of this year, following engagement, because remember, there is a responsibility that is located in the Secretariat. There is a responsibility with us. We are in a process of engaging, but at the same time to enable us to review and with certainty to be able to say what is it that must be found in each and every station. Does it mean that if the guidelines say there must be the CPF must have a meeting, say two meetings a month. If that one meeting is not held, we say there was no compliance. It will be problematic because in some smaller stations, there is maybe not a need to have the two meetings in a month. Maybe one will do, but in bigger stations, it is possible that because of the complexity of the area and the issues that they deal with, they meet three and four times. So I'm simply saying at this stage, we use the policy and the guideline which is there without doing too much of a review on it. But it is work in progress, which may be looked at going forward. The issue of vetting, Chair, well, I will invite the Chair, not that this is the first time that the Chair and the Honourable Members will be raising it, but we have ourselves said there is a serious need for us to make progress in this regard. That we don't only want to be saying our priority is senior managers. We have called on crime intelligence to outline a plan for us, which plan must speak to specific environments and speak to specific numbers, so that we can at least be able to say to the Honourable Members that in this year, this is the exact number of people and environments where the focus is going to be to ensure that these people are vetted. Honourable Chair will recall, CI, it's not an option. They must be vetted, all of them. Senior managers, they must be vetted, all of them. DPCI, it's a legislative requirement. When the DNA Act was introduced, it placed an obligation on the department to have people in forensic services vetted. So we would want that to be finalized so that we are saying, with the capacity that we have, these are the areas, and then we work along those lines. So maybe it may be necessary that once we have concluded that process, Chair, we make it available to the Honourable Members for it to be scrutinized, and that we be measured on how we are performing around that particular issue. Also, additional to that is ensuring that we re-look at our vetting capacity, because unfortunately, it's one of those where people are recruited in trained and they are being taken to their other environment. There are dependencies, polygraphs, and so forth, and those people, we are not able to retain them long in the particular environment. So that plan that we'll outline, we'll be talking amongst others to all those issues. And maybe going back, relating to this vetting issue, I think Honourable Mulevati and Honourable Ramadagani raised an issue around Owatambo. In particular, the movement of the 800 people. And maybe Honourable Ramadagani, the question of lapses. Were there any lapses? indeed, on the Owar Tambo situation, regrettably, there were some security breaches. And that security breach did not only come from one side, both from the airport security as well as from the police. Just one example, Chair, the gate which was used is the gate that is manned by the airport security. But outside that gate, it is routine that police people are deployed there in a vehicle. On the day, those policemen were not there. And when we went into that exercise, it became clear that the claim was it was during the change of a shift. That's why you did not have the people that were supposed to be on the outside perimeter there. So for us, it's a big issue. Was it a coincidence that this happened? Is it a coincidence if the people that are supposed to be deployed there, you are told that they were late for duty on the particular day? So there was a breach in that regard. We also have said that the communication between the security and the police, when cargo is to be moved from A to B, it is not to be moved without the police escort. So in that area, there were also some challenges now because of the nature of the area, Chair, and it is important that some of these things get confined to be managed, and at a point where we have correct answers, we are able to provide so that we do not create an unnecessary situation. But I think we can say that there were some breaches on the day, and it remains a matter that we are attending to. The transfers, Honourable Chair, among others was to try and deal with the situation where, for example, there are some red lines, but also not to keep people too long in the environment where they are too comfortable and they begin to operate in a network. We do accept that that approach is not accepted even by labor, because once you say to people we need to redeploy, they immediately run to labor, and in this particular instance, yesterday I saw a communique from some legal representatives where that process is being challenged. It is an exaggeration if the report was tendered that there are 800 people that are to be moved. What we were looking at is up to 100 of the 800 people in that particular area. And this movement, Chair, amongst others, is informed by the distances members travel a day. You have got people that come as far as Temba, Amenskra, that work at the airport, and people from Soshanguve and so on. It is also a challenge, you know, from moving them to be there on time, but also when they get there, are they still fresh for duty? So it is not just a blanket thing to say everyone must go there. We were saying we need to give people a chance to move out so that we can bring in new people and address these issues. Yes, some of them are those that the view is held that they are compromised. For example, if you have got commanders who are not exercising command and control in a national key point, who allows the security breaches, why must we keep them in that particular area? We must immediately facilitate their movement. So it is a situation that we are dealing with, hoping that it will be resolved. I've taken note of the chair's view following the study tour on what other countries do in as far as the use of force and reporting to Parliament. I don't think it is out of the equation. It is something that we can always work on. How do we then punish Parliament with the necessary support? I think what will be required from us is to go and look at the model of reporting, a template of reporting. What is it that we are going to be factoring in over what period and so on. So it is not out of the equation. May I, before I deal with other issues, Chair, just ask General Ravi to deal with some issues that Honorable Ramathakane raised around the Kailicha Commission of Inquiry, since the General is part of the team that is actively engaging to allow us to deal with the issues.
General, at this stage, I'm going to give General Ravi a brief. We're going to break 10 minutes for peace outside. 10 minutes. Thank you, members. 10 minutes. Then we'll come back for the responses further out. Thank you.